So when I was 8 years old, I went on a flight on Delta Airlines. We went from Los Angeles to Seattle.
That was your first time on an airplane at eight years old.
Yeah. A lot of people, when they go on their first flight, they're scared. I'm sitting here looking like, everything is so cool, incredible. Look out the window. Oh, is that the wing? I got the aviation bug that day.
You started out as a safety pilot on a tiny little jet, a CJ, right?
A Phenom 100.
The Phenom 100.
Even tinier.
To going to being a captain on a Gulfstream 550 that operates all over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched you just march from one airplane, safety pilot, to co-pilot, to captain, back to co-pilot on a bigger airplane, to captain. It's almost been a perfect career. Did you like plan that?
One of my flight instructors from back in 2004, when I was getting my private pilot certificate, he got the job flying as a captain on that Phenom 100. He said, hey, so what's going on with your flying career right now? I'm like, dude, I'm not doing anything. I'm literally pushing wheelchairs in LAX right now. He said, hey, I got this possible opportunity. You want to fly right seat on a jet? I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got a call the next day. Next thing you know, I was sitting in a right seat of a Phenom 100 and getting paid to do it.
Aviators, welcome to the Flight Club Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Middleton. I'm a pilot, I'm an aviation entrepreneur, and I'm a huge fan of all the people that make aviation happen. Today's guest on Flight Club is a multi-talented guy. He's currently a captain on a Gulfstream G550. He's also type rated in aircraft, the Challenger 300, the Lear 60, and the Citation Jet series of aircraft. When he's not flying, he's also a well-known aviation YouTuber and content generator. And my favorite thing about him is he's a mentor for our next generation of pilots. Aviators, welcome to the show, Captain Brian Monette. Brian, welcome, bud.
Yeah.
Good to have you on.
I love this. Episode one.
This is it. We're doing it. First time. And I couldn't have anybody better to have it on. I mean, you're such a great personality and I've known you for a long time. You've done so much and I thank you so much for being the first guy.
Of course. I'm sure you're super stoked about this.
I mean, I'm excited.
This is your first episode. You've been wanting to do this for some time, right?
I have. Yeah. I've been thinking about this for a long time.
Okay.
And my wife has kind of, she's a podcaster and she's kind of pushed me over the top. So here we are.
I am honored. Thanks for having
me. So, Brian, dude, you've got a pretty amazing aviation background. I've known you for a long time. You're one of those guys that just start at the bottom and ground your way to the top. And
You've
done some pretty cool stuff in aviation already and at your young age.
Quite extensive, for sure, yes.
Yeah, and you're also a mentor, too. That's, you know, we're going to get all into this. But first, before we really dig into the aviation stuff, I want to talk about
sponsors.
Some other things.
No, I'm kidding.
You actually have a lot more experience with this than I do. But, dude, you just dropped a rap video.
Yeah, I did.
What is that all about, man? A rap video and you're a pilot?
Look, man, I was just like randomly, I think I was on a flight or something, and I had my phone with me, and I was just like, you know what? I came with an idea. I was watching a video by Long Beach Griffey. Now, he's a famous YouTuber. He makes like a lot of edgy videos, but he's like, super hilarious, and he made a rap video. It had nothing to do with aviation or anything like that.
Yeah,
but he made this like a couple years ago, but it just popped up in my head randomly, and I was like, what if I make a rap video for aviation? It might be kind of funny. I can probably think of some funny rhymes. I'm not a rapper.
Yeah.
I did grow up in Compton, but I am not affiliated with rap whatsoever.
Really? Oh,
but
man.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway,
can we play it really quick?
Let's
is that
do it.
Cool?
Yeah,
all right, here, I'm gonna play it really quick.
What's up, bro? All right, cool, bro. You ready to get started? No time like the present. Let's do it. That's what I'm talking about. All right.
I'm in beast mode and that's the first hook. Got a ton of hours in the logbook. Rolled up in that black gold stream and had all the ramp agents looking shook.
That's gonna witness my horrible rhymes.
I mean, everything about this video is you have to be a pilot to get it. It is hilarious.
No, my gear lever. I'm not the type to fall for thirst traps. Get the highest matches on a date now. I'ma let you know who the best is. Do my pre-flight with my checklist. In the right seat with that best assist. With the Zulu time on my damn wrist. Flight time, I got that. Three stripes, I got that. My navigation skills are rack. Got an iPad tucked in a flight bag. Cause I be up on that four flight. Instrument skills are real tight. Fly any approach with full precision. Got the girl bent over in the full position. YouTube videos post a lot. Only 8,000 fans, but I'm still hot. The
album sucks so
and I really hate it because my YouTube.
Oh my god, dude, I love it. Tell me about that video, dude, and making it and.
Well, for starters, I'm listening to this again for like the first time in a long time. When I posted the video, I may have listened to it a couple of times after that. I think I forgot when I posted it, like well over a year ago, maybe, or maybe close to a year ago. And I'm looking at that video right now. I'm like, well, for some of those lyrics, are actually true.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say which ones are, which ones aren't, but the three stripes thing. So I kind of wanted to do this like a two-part video.
Oh.
So this is the first officer's perspective.
Got it.
I was going to do the captain's perspective later on.
All right. Now, when's that going to drop?
Who knows? I got some ideas written down. I'm kind of like writing some lyrics and stuff. So we'll see when it happens.
Oh, nice.
There's been a whole lot going on, so I kind of have to put stuff on the back burner. But I am going to get back to it because you guys are laughing at it, which I appreciate. I'm laughing at it again when I see myself like, I really made that. Holy shit.
Oh my God. And you did everything. We're going to talk more about your YouTube channel, but I mean, you've got a whole series of videos. One of them, it's a comedy series, the Disgruntled Pilot series.
Yes.
And that's like you're kind of a famous guy. When you go around from FBO to FBO and flying airplanes around the country.
Sometimes they do get recognized, yes.
Yeah, people recognize you from your videos. Mm-hmm. And this series is really popular. Like, a lot of people know it. And I actually talk about you know, to other pilots, like, oh, yeah, that guy's hilarious. Like, where did you come up with the Disgruntled Pilot series? And what's the background on that?
Well, episode one of the Disgruntled Pilot series features me having to pay bills, you know, as any... person would need to, but as a pilot, when it comes to paying bills, this is a very we're in difficult times right now. Even back when I made the video, we were prices going up, everything's going crazy. So even for a pilot, it's sometimes challenging. So I was making a video based on bills that needed to be paid and me not having enough funds to pay those bills. I barely had any kind of money after the fact to take care of my own self.
Yeah.
And I put it in a light where the bills are actually able to talk to me and tell me that, hey, you're supposed to pay us.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here like, I want to go out and have fun with my friends.
So you have a personal relationship with your bills at that point.
Exactly. An unwanted relationship.
Yeah.
I don't want bills at all. But hey, they're in our lives, right? So they're getting upset at me. They're like, no, we need to be paid right now because we want to keep existing. We want to be consistent and everything like that. And I'm sitting here like, no, I just want to have fun with my friends. And they're like, one actually... See, I got into visual effects designing and things like that, little basic stuff. But I had one pull out a gun and actually shoot me in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And I fell on the floor and I'm like, all right, I'm going to pay you guys. I'll pay you.
The bill shot you. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And the next scene, I'm like typing on my computer, paying my bills and everything. I'm like, okay, I'm done. And the bills are like laughing at me. I'm like, can I have a little bit of money for myself? And they're like, here's $3. Do it in my face. And
yeah, I remember that.
And then it ends. But it's a situation where I'm a pilot. Sure, the job is great, but I'm very... disgruntled, unhappy with what's going on. So the Disgruntled Pilot series was born basically the frustrations of pilot life and with a humorous twist.
Yeah.
Because every job has its ups and downs. Yeah.
If you're not going to laugh, you're going to cry, right?
Exactly. Pilot's job have ups and downs, obviously, because we're up and down all the time.
Yeah.
Zing. Zing. No, I'm kidding.
That's a pun. That's a pun for the audience.
Yeah, there we go. So even my job, there's some frustrations. And whenever I think of something that upsets me, I may, how can I make this funny?
Yeah.
And I may pull out my phone randomly and just type in, this experience happened to me. I'll think about it later. I'm like, how can I make this funny? So that's kind of how the Disgruntled Pilot series was born. That's how I wanted to make it as. And then people started catching on to it. They're like, this is funny stuff.
It's really funny.
A lot of my friends are hitting me up saying, dude, this is hilarious. I'm really crying laughing right now. Like, I've been through the situation too.
Well, it's because it's all true.
Exactly. There's a lot of truth in comedy, as we all know.
There's so much truth in the things you put out there. Like, you had one video that I watched and I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst nightmare ever for a corporate pilot. You show up to your hotel after a 14-hour duty day.
Oh,
you've been flying for 10 hours. You flew across the Atlantic Ocean, across multiple time zones all night long. You're just, all you want to do is crawl into bed and go to sleep.
And what happens? You get to your hotel room, long-ass line for the check-in. You're like, whoa.
The worst nightmare ever. You get to your hotel room. You pull the room key out that they just gave you down at the lobby and it doesn't work. And you're on the 18th floor all the way down at the other end of the hotel, and it's a 20-minute walk back to the desk, and you're just like, no. You produced a video about
that. That was based on a real experience. It happened many times. I'm sure we all been through that.
Yeah.
At least once.
It's so true. And I'm like, oh my God, it is the worst.
And you know what? I learned from my own personal video. So anytime I get hotel keys, I get at least two or three. I want to make sure that they work. Now in the video, I'm going through 10 different cards, just to over exaggerate.
Yeah.
But when you have one card, you're gambling with life right now at this point, because you're gonna lose your shit, right?
That's why you always ask for two cards. No, I want two cards.
Yeah, two or three cards.
But there's only one person. No, I'll take two cards.
Absolutely. I was just in Antigua recently, and I had to make sure that my hotel key worked because there's a huge thunderstorm going on. And Antigua's hotel has like open sections where the hallways are exposed to the elements.
Yeah.
So the rain is coming down. I'm like, oh my God, if I get to my room and my key doesn't work, I'm going to be very pissed. So let me go ahead and make sure that, you know, when I come up to the front desk, I'm like, hey, can you just make sure my card works? I already checked in the room and everything. I'm just coming back after going out for breakfast. I'm like, yep, let me make sure. Yeah. Sure enough, it worked. I'm like, okay, cool. I learned from my own personal 100%. Experience.
Dude, I've done that so many times. You show up to the hotel, they give you the keys like, does it work? Are you sure? Can you check it again? It's got to work. Come on.
Yes.
They're like, okay, sir.
But at the same time, I've been in that situation where even I had like two or three keys and like all of them didn't work. And I was just like, this is unbelievable. I probably got the keys to the wrong room or something.
Yeah.
And then there are some cases where I did actually go to the wrong room.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to the front desk and I'm like, what's going on? Sir, that wasn't your room. And I'm like, wow, I really am tired.
Well, dude, like, think about it. Look, when you're a corporate pilot, and you're going from, and we're getting off topic here, we're going to talk about aviation flying a little bit. When you're going from city to city to city to city in different areas, and you're staying in hotel rooms, you're like, and you go out to dinner, you come back, you're like, what room number am I
in? I don't even know what city I'm in. When I wake up in the morning, I don't know where I'm at sometimes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's what's unbelievable.
But anyways, I wanted to get back to the YouTube channel and some of the disgruntled pilots. You have kind of an interesting relationship with the Uber drivers. And you've produced quite a few Uber driver videos. And one of the funniest ones was you and an Uber driving with the, and the Uber drivers, you're going to the airport, obviously. And the guy's like, you a pilot? And you're in uniform.
No, I'm in full uniform. I'm like, yeah, duh. Had that question in real life.
Yeah.
Had that question in real life.
It happens.
Swear to God.
Oh my God. I know. I remember I was in a, I was on a flight and we ended up, the other pilot and I ended up, it was just a day trip somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we like, hey, let's go to the mall and get lunch. It was a mall near the airport and we were there for like 3 or 4 hours. So we're just walking around the mall after lunch and people kept asking us for directions and where things were. Where's the bathroom? Where's the Gap? Where's the store? And I'm like, I looked at the other pilot, I'm like, dude, why do they keep asking us where to go?
These questions? Shouldn't they know?
And I look over and I'm like, oh my God, they think we're mall cops.
Oh,
because we're in uniform at the mall with our epaulets on.
Yeah.
Like we're mall cops right now.
Like the stripes mean something, guys. Come on.
I know. I was like, I got to get Brian to make a video about that one.
Maybe. Okay. You send me some ideas, man.
Well, what goes it? Like you shoot, this is all a new world to me. I'm fascinated by it. My wife lives in this world and I'm, starting this new podcast that's aviation focused, and so I'm learning, and I want to kind of learn as much as I can about this world. But all of the stuff that you've done, you do yourself. I mean, you star in it, you write it. I think it seems like you're.
I wrote everything. Yeah, there's like a couple of videos where I had some help. There's some couple of videos where I feature other people, but for the most part, it's all me. Yeah.
Yeah. So walk me through that process. Do you like? Because some of the times you're shaven. So you're having a conversation with yourself as different characters.
Yeah. Sometimes and there are some times where I got like a full beard and there's another character that has no beard at all. And it's like an in-between kind of thing. This one video I did, airport security, I have like different characters going through the terminal.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Thank you. That was all written by me. It was very difficult to shoot because full beer right now, for example, I did two of those episodes, by the way, airport security. If you guys want to check it out, please feel free. When you're recording one scene, one character, and you got a beard, and then you got another character that has like just a mustache, and you got a character that has nothing, no facial hair at all, you got to make sure that you cover those scenes properly with the beard. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait months to grow it again.
Oh, my God.
You can imagine how frustrating that would be.
Yeah.
So when I got my script done, I got my shots done, I'm like, okay, I'm getting ready to shave now. I got to make sure I got everything. So I'm going through the footage, making sure everything looks good. And it's very time consuming. So that's part of the problem right there. But overall, I didn't forget anything. It's so when I have my cell phone, I have a shot list.
Oh,
shot list of every single
you get organized.
Thing I need to get. I try to stay organized because if I don't, I'm going to want.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
Yep. I like it.
Otherwise, I'm going to forget stuff.
Yeah.
So I get those scenes done. Then I go to the next character. I shave. I got the mustache now. Now I'm playing the police officer for security, and I got to get those scenes done. Then I'm playing the other people, and it gets confusing, especially when I get to the editing process. Oh, yeah. My God. You know, I got to sort through everything because I got beard guy here. I got partial facial hair guy here, and I got everything, you know, no facial hair guy here. And then I got to get those intertwined so that they're talking to each other, look like they're talking to each other.
Yeah.
Even though I'm really not. I mean, it's only one of me.
Yeah. You know, and you're shooting the camera. You're setting cameras up and shooting it yourself.
Yeah. Sometimes I have it on a tripod. Sometimes it's just handheld.
Got it.
Most of it is handheld.
Yeah.
As far as the Disgruntled Pilot series is concerned. Right. Yeah.
That's great. It's great. How did you, like, what sparked your interest in, like, jumping into that and really, because you... Like you put a lot of videos out. How many videos out do you have now?
A few hundred at least, I think.
That's a lot.
Disgruntled Pilot series, I have like 35, 36, I think.
Yeah.
So it's still ongoing. Everything is still ongoing. Obviously I'm taking a break right now, but I think overall I got like a couple hundred videos.
That's awesome.
Maybe a few hundred.
Is this like a lot of pilots have side hustles? You know, would you consider this your side hustle
for sure? Yeah.
It's a lot. You do a great job at it. We're going to have, you know, at the end of the show, we're going to figure out, you know, you can tell us where to find all your videos and all that. We'll make sure they're in the show notes.
Sure. But we can link all that stuff, but I'll answer your question first, how I got involved in the filming stuff.
Yeah.
That started in about like 2010, I believe, way before I started flying private jets. I found this YouTube channel called Freddie W. Mm-hmm. For all the old school YouTube guys out there who watch YouTube from like way back in its inception, there's a YouTube channel that came out called Freddie W.
Freddie W. was a guy.
Yeah, he was like an Asian dude and another guy, white dude, that worked together. They went to school at USC, I believe. They were like in film school together.
Yeah.
And instead of going a traditional Hollywood route, you know, that kind of stuff, they wanted to do something personal on YouTube as it was a rising platform.
Yeah.
And they found a way to figure out visual effects on the, well, not figure out, they went to school for it, but they did their own personal stuff that they learned from school and made their own personal YouTube channel, which is like, action field. You think it's like a, like movie directors film this shit, right?
Yeah.
But these are just two college kids.
No kidding.
And it blew up like crazy. Like I'm talking about visual effects with like guns, action scenes, cars, explosions, all kinds of stuff. Mostly visual effects, some practical.
And you're like a young guy watching this.
I'm a young guy watching this. I'm like, this is so cool. I wish I could do something like that. Here's another thing. They made a behind the scenes channel, Freddie W. too.
Nice.
At the time, it's named something else now. I don't think they do it anymore. But
they
show their behind the scenes stuff of how they film their shots, the visual effects, the cameras they use, the actors get interviews and things like that. And I'm like, this stuff seems doable to the average person who's just sitting here watching a YouTube video. Maybe I could do something like this. And I was always interested in arts, graphic design, video games, and, you know, just like being creative and making stuff ever since, as far as I can remember.
Nice.
And I was like, this is a way for me to tap back into this as I'm pursuing my flying career. So that's what I did. That's where the Disgruntled Pilot series was born. My aviation vlogs that I do.
Yep.
I started learning cameras and microphones, everything.
Yeah.
And it turned into something really
awesome,
big, you know?
It's super fun. Thank you for putting that content out there. And, you know, it's, you know, aviation's, you know, there's so many characters in aviation. I'm just fascinated by, you know, the people in our industry and, you know, aviation is the thing that ties us all together, but we're all different. Right. And we've all got different things going on. And
all walks of life coming together for one sole purpose.
Yeah.
Having fun and getting paid to do it.
Yeah. It's just cool. I love it.
Yes.
I want to kind of roll in from your background in aviation and cause they're kind of all tied together. I feel like after just kind of getting to know you and where you came from and how you came to aviation. So maybe tell us a little bit about your background and where you came from and how you found aviation.
All right, well, I'll start from day one. So my mom and dad, they met, they went on a date. No, I'm kidding. No, my oldest childhood memory was when I was 3 years old. I'm actually standing on my mother's dresser or whatever, and I'm wearing like my Frenchie outfit. My last name is Monet, so I'm part French as well.
Yeah.
On my dad's side, Creole, that kind of whole thing. We go way back. But anyway, I'm wearing my little Frenchie outfit. I got a model airplane in my hand and I'm holding it there.
Yep.
You guys feel free to show it if you like.
That picture's on your Instagram channel.
Yeah, I'll send it to you guys. And I remember that because I remember back then I used to watch airplanes fly overhead. We're in Los Angeles right now, downtown. there's not too many airplanes flying over here unless they're like 7,000 feet or above. But in Inglewood, where we were living in Market Street, I was 3 years old. And when I'm in the backyard playing, I can see the airplanes like flying very close to the ground. Yeah. I'm like, what are these big things up here? This is interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
And just seeing those massive structures flying through the air was just fascinating to me. And
at a young age, a little kid.
At a very young age, yeah. So I was fascinated. I didn't know anything what a pilot was, what an airplane was, but I was slowly learning. And this one little event, do you remember the department store called Fedco?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fedco is like way back, like early 90s shit, like late 80s, early 90s. And I remember being in Fedco and my parents walked me through the fan aisle, you know, the household fans you put on your desk and everything like that, the box fans. I'm looking at these fans. They're like rotating, spinning and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, wait a minute, spinning fans, airplane engines. So what's going on here? So there's like a connection here. And I just got like, wow. And I'm just like blown away as a kid.
Yeah.
That is one of my oldest memories. That and choking on a biscuit at 4 years old. But that's a whole separate story. So that is how it started. Now, progressively through the years, I was going through to school in West Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I would see airplanes flying overhead there, too, a little bit higher. But I would see them all the time. And my friends, we'd be playing kickball during recess. And, you know, I'm looking at an airplane. I get bonked in the head with a kickball instead of catching it.
Yeah.
Everybody's mad at me. Brian, why aren't you paying attention?
Head in the clouds.
Head literally in the clouds.
Head in the clouds. I like it.
And I would draw airplanes. I'm just like, I'm going airplane crazy. On a flight on Delta Airlines. And shout out to my big brother, Henry Kuykendall. Love him to death. He was working for Delta at the time. I believe at the time he was a ramp agent. I think he started from the ground, made it all the way up. But I'll get into that in a little bit, possibly. But yeah, shout out to him because he's the one that got us the flight. We went from Los Angeles to Seattle, just like a family vacation kind of thing.
It was that was your first time on an airplane at 8 years old.
Yeah, at 8 years old. Nice. I believe we sat in first class. Maybe we were sitting in business. I'm not really sure. But I do remember it was big, open.
You remember people walking by you?
I remember the plane type. Jealous. It was the MD-11.
Oh, yeah.
So an MD-11, whether you're in business or you're in coach, first class, whatever, it's still huge. It's a double aisle airplane. So it's very big. And I got a photo from it where I'm just like sitting, chilling on the wall, looking like a boss. Yeah. It's a big idea that, you know, when I look at that picture later, I'll be like, oh, my God, I look so cool in that picture.
Yeah.
I have my little suspenders on and everything. but I was chill that day. Like a lot of people, when they go on their first flight, they're scared. Yeah. I'm sitting here looking like, everything is so cool, incredible. Look out the window. Oh, is that the wing? You know, all that kind of stuff.
And, yeah.
You know, I got the aviation bug that day.
Yeah.
You know, I was always fascinated in planes, but I think I got the true bug that day.
No way. That's pretty interesting. You pinpointed that day.
And then
when you started flying, when you're like, okay, I'm going to start flying. Like, I know.
It was already set. Yeah, I knew what I wanted to do.
I mean, you were like pretty young when you started flying airplanes. And learning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, tell me about...
Not as far back as 8 years old. I mean, I do remember meeting the pilots at 8 years old. And so at least I knew what a pilot was then. I knew what I wanted to do with my career.
Yeah.
But my first time actually taking control of an airplane was in 2003. It's actually June 13th, 2003. I remember the exact date because it was a Friday.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th.
Oh, nice.
First flying lesson, right?
Perfect. What could go wrong?
Yeah. What could go wrong? It was a Piper Tomahawk. Ooh, November 236.
There's a lot can go wrong.
Right. The Tomahawk, right?
The Tomahawk.
It was November 23680. It's not flying anymore in case anybody wants to look it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my first airplane that I ever flew. And we flew in the pattern.
What airport was that?
Compton.
Was it Compton?
Yep. Compton Airport. Cool. Charlie, Papa, Mike. Nice. Very... very secluded airport right in the middle of Los Angeles. It's the only uncontrolled airport within the LA basin, surprisingly. But
it's under Bravo,
It's underneath Bravo, There's a 5,000-foot ceiling for Bravo right there. But the airplane's been there for almost a century now, probably over a century, I don't know.
But in Zamperini Field?
Yeah.
It's been there for a long
time. Yeah, it goes way back. But I've been growing up in Compton most of my life. You know, I did start in Inglewood on Market Street from when I was born up until like 4 years old. But then we moved to Compton and I was there up until I was 18.
Oh, nice.
So my 18th year, my senior year in high school. Now I knew about I knew there was an airport nearby. I saw like small Cessnas flying overhead, but I never knew there was an airport nearby. I never knew about the Compton Airport at all.
Yeah.
So I found out about the Compton Airport when this cool gentleman named Robin Petgrave. He's a helicopter pilot for Celebrity Helicopters. He's flown a lot of famous movies like Broken Arrow as a stunt helicopter guy.
Yeah.
And he actually flew his helicopter into our stadium intentionally landed in the field for like a assembly kind of thing.
At your high school?
At my high school.
Holy moly.
Yeah, so we're sitting in the bleachers, and I'm like, I'm not expecting this to happen. They're like, hey, assembly this morning. So we all meet up in the bleachers and everything. It's a big open field. He lands his helicopter right there. We're like, oh, that's cool. I'm sitting here like, yeah, that's actually pretty cool. And it's a helicopter. I really care about helicopters at the time.
Yeah.
I think helicopters are badass now, but
helicopters,
you know, but at the
scare
time,
me. I don't like helicopters.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, we can talk about that too.
I don't like helicopters.
I actually might want to you know, pursue that one day, you know, when I start making more money, but that's just expensive. My God. But anyway, he landed his helicopter.
I don't understand him.
Well, yeah. Oh, fixed wing guys and rotary wing sense. Guys. We have that little divide right there.
Helicopters.
You know.
I don't get it.
So but
anyways,
So he lands it there. He gets out, he does his speech and, you know, he's talking about aviation and the different fields in aviation where people,
you must have thought this guy is a badass.
Of course I did. Yeah, fly his helicopter in. He's wearing like a full flight suit and everything. Yeah,
flight suit. Right,
like
some aviator glasses.
Like a military guy, man.
He just like dropped into your holy shit.
Exactly.
Like what is going on right now?
Yeah, we were kind of blown away. Now I wasn't as blown away as you would think I was. I thought it was really cool, but I didn't really take an interest in this program or anything like that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what got me interested in this program. Catherine Diggs, that was my office occupations teacher at the time. She figured it would be a good idea for her to take us to the Compton Airport and check out Robin's program. I didn't think anything of it, but we went down there and we checked it out. So little did I know, it wasn't just helicopters. It was also a fixed wing flight school.
Yeah.
And Robin took us on a tour of the facility. It was very cool, like Tuskegee Airmen, memorials and things like that all around, which is pretty cool. We actually got to meet some pilots.
Yeah.
And Robin took us up on a flight in his helicopter.
Oh, nice.
Now, again, I'm not interested in helicopters, but we flew. And we flew in a small contraption flying around Compton. I'm like, oh, I know that street. I know that street. Yeah. Almost like when I was 8 years old again. I'm like, oh, this.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, wait a second. That's when something clicked. And I was like, maybe I need to come back here.
Oh, nice.
So
you found. So he's sort of a mentor for you.
Oh, absolutely. Robin. Yeah. I would say he's one of my first. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. And we're going to talk a lot. We're going to talk more about Fly Compton.
Yes, we will. We'll get into that. So we're kind of like carrying on Robin's legacy as far as like reaching out to the kids and the youth and the local
area. We're going to dig into Fly Compton a little bit.
We'll definitely dig into that.
Do you for not to like get too serious, but you know, we work in a pretty white male dominated business.
Sure.
Brian. And
I've
known you for a long time and you're just such an awesome guy. And I can't imagine you ever having issues or anything, but how has that been for you working in an industry that's pretty dominated by guys that look like me, you know, and you know, you're very unique in the industry.
Honestly, it's been pretty sweet. And I'll tell you why, because anytime somebody sees me up in the cockpit, especially, you know, when I got my beard shaved and I'm not looking old, people are like, dude, like you, like they know I look different. I'm not the type of person they expect to see when they go up front.
No, you're not.
So the first question I get, are you old enough to fly this plane? And I'm like,
you're starting to get a few grays in there, Brian.
So. I got a few. Yeah. Yeah. See, I got to trim up, man. I'm just kind of growing out right now because I just,
yeah.
But anyway, people ask me, they're like, are you old enough to fly this plane? Like that's also cool that, you know, that African-Americans are flying planes and stuff. You guys are really killing it out there. I'm starting to see more and more.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that is good because we only make up about 4, maybe 5%
it's grown a lot. I think we're about 5% now. I just looked up the stat. I mean, when I started flying, Brian, like there was no black pilots. Like you would never see it. It was like 1%.
Right.
And you know, especially in the corporate jet world, they wanted a certain look and demographic, and it was, but I mean, it's changing. I feel like, you know, I mean, we both work in this industry. I run an aviation business that employs a lot of pilots and, you know, I think it's changing a lot. Are you feeling that, or how does that land with you?
I definitely notice a difference. There's a complete shift going on right now, especially in recent years. When I first started, I would probably say it was like maybe 3 or 4%, but now it's probably like more than that. I'm not really sure the exact statistics. I didn't look this stuff up, but
I mean, I do
see more African-American pilots when I hop in a cockpit. Yeah, do you think,
yeah. Do you think there's more kids like you that come from the inner city or that didn't come from a aviation family that are seeing this now as a viable
Yes.
Career?
Yes. I'm actually meeting a lot more kids through Fly Compton, which is our company at the Compton Airport now.
Yeah.
I'm meeting a lot of kids that just, they're like little versions of me. You know, they're fascinated in something. They don't know how to get started. Nobody really gave them any information. They're probably the first pilot in their family or person who wants to be a pilot in their family.
Yeah.
And they have no guidance.
Yeah.
So, you know, just like I had a mentor with Robin Petgrave and like a few other people, these kids need a mentor. So we're filling in that role. When I say we, I'm talking about me and my team. So there's a bunch of us who went up through Robin's program. We got together during COVID and we formed this program for these kids because we can see that there was a lack. The mentorship program in the Compton area was dying down.
Yeah.
Robin's program, he was more focused on, you know, flying his celebrity helicopters and, you know, working that business. Instructors, they come and go. We can definitely see the program was dwindling a little bit. So, you know, it's not his fault. I mean, that's just kind of how aviation is going right now. People are unmotivated. You know, crisis is happening left and right. We got COVID going on at the time. Not a whole lot of flying going on. We're like, how can we get this to continue? How can we get kids that were in our shoes to get to where we are now, to our shoes now currently? You know?
Was it Fly Compton before you guys started this? Or did you, because it's a cool name. You got a logo,
and we'll
share with the audience, you know, how to connect, and
you
know, it's a really cool program. And I've met all your counterparts, awesome group of aviators. And it's amazing the diversity in the group, right? You got, you know, FedEx pilots, you got captains on Alaska, you got all these
FedEx, UPS,
you know, you have Alaska, international G550 captain.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, everyone's very successful.
Yeah.
But you're all rolling back and helping this program out. So you guys got together, started Fly Compton, and tell me about the core group of guys and how did you guys decide to do this? And, you know, back when COVID started, and you know, I know you're starting to get into it, but let's.
I got a phone call from my good friend, Ronell Norman. He's an Alaskan Airlines captain right now. He called me back in June of 2020. And we were just like, just shooting a shit, just talking, you know, catching up and everything like that. We haven't seen each other in a while, maybe like a few months or whatever. Asking how's everything going in the private jet world. I'm asking what's going on with him. And he's like, dude, like, I was thinking, do you think we should like continue what Robin was doing and create a program for these kids? And I mean, this is a big question for me because I'm like, that entails a lot. There's a lot to do in order to start something like that. But I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I kind of do. And I said kind of do, but I really do want to do this. We got to figure out how we're going to do this.
Yep.
So that was the first conversation. I don't know if I was the first person he talked to about it, but he definitely asked me that question. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I do want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
How can I help? So they already know I'm an artsy kind of guy. I like to create stuff. So they asked me if I could design the logo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, cool. Yeah, I could do that. So I took some ideas that they put together and I took some of my own ideas and kind of just like combined it into this logo, which exists today. And they're like, oh yeah, this is a sweet logo. Yeah. So we just stuck with it. And I also play the role of the social media director at Fly Compton as well. So I post videos about Fly Compton. I post on the Instagram pages. I'm putting up pictures and everything.
Yeah.
So we got a lot going on. And that's my role in the company. Ronell plays the role of director of operations now.
Yeah.
He was chief pilot for some time, you know, kind of working away up with that. And we got our really good friend, Demetrius Harris, who's our president currently. Yeah. He comes from a politics background.
And what is he flying? He's a...
I think he flies a G3 off and on. I think he flew in a Hawker a couple of times. You know, sorry, bro, if I'm getting this stuff wrong.
But he's gonna watch this.
Yeah, I'm totally butchering your career, man. But I know he was in politics prior to this, but I do know his background story. He was flying on a plane, forgot where it was, but he met two black pilots and he thought that was really cool. And he had a fascination in aviation as well.
Yeah.
But all his background was politics. But when he saw those two brothers up there, he was like, I could probably do something like this.
That's cool.
He made an entire career shift. He was like, you know, I'm going to do this. He went to ATP flight school, went from zero to hero within like a couple years.
Really?
And he started flying Gulfstreams because he's a good networking guy.
Yeah.
So he was good for, you know, flying contract stuff. He found the owner he was flying for some time. And then I forgot how the connection happened with Fly Compton, but he wound up being our president and just a solid dude with the political background
He has a whole president. Lot of
connections.
That's weird.
And everything. Like, yeah, I kind of wonder how he got there, right?
Like, what happened? We don't even know.
No, he's just a solid president. Dude, man. I love him to death. But he brought good opportunities. I mean, we got donations from Alaska Airlines, Boeing, you know, all kinds of places. You guys even helped donate to us before.
I love it. I want to do more. I think it's so awesome what you guys are doing. And And we need pilots, man. We need more pilots.
We need more. There's a huge shortage going on right now.
We've got this huge shortage of pilots, and it affects all areas of business. It's a problem. We need more pilots. And so it's, you know, bringing these kids up, no matter where they're from.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a great career, and I hope the young generation, you know, it's interesting. When I became a pilot, there was lots of jobs. It was a wide open thing. And then 9/11 happened and there was no jobs.
Oh man, 9/11 actually discouraged me for some time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in graphic design and stuff, you know, drawing and everything. I was kind of getting back into that before I took that first flying lesson in June of 2003.
Yeah.
I was actually unmotivated, and that's why I didn't have interest in Robin's helicopter and that kind of stuff. I was like, 9/11 just happened. It's kind of scary. I don't want to do this.
And it was.
Until that bug clicked again, then I was like right back into it.
Yeah, and it was
9/11 messed up a whole lot of stuff, man.
Yeah, it was years before the industry corrected, and I ended up, you know, I was hired by an airline as an instructor with 700 hours in the cockpit, and training was canceled, and I ended up flying cargo from Bakersfield to Sacramento. That was my first job, real job, you know, and like, I did that for a long time, and
packages are always going to have to get around no matter what.
Yeah, but now we're in this time where we've got this massive shortage, most demand we've ever had, huge shortage of pilots, and the problem is it ebbs and flows. When it was a terrible job back then, they weren't paying pilots very much. There was an overabundance. Then 9/11 happened, and it all went the other way. And now we've gotten to the point where I think that the new generation seeing. Mm-hmm. It is a great job, and you can make a really good income at it, and you know the schedules vary depending on what you're doing, but I'm glad to see it for the kids. I want to talk about like Flight Compton and the kids when they come in. Like, tell me about what you guys do. I know Saturdays are big days out there airport. Tell me what you guys do on Saturday.
Well, it's every other Saturday. Right now, I think it. Right now it might be every Saturday. It might still be every other Saturday. Like I do a lot of flying in the corporate world. So yep. I get every once in a while to come back home and catch up with what's going on. And, you know, I do what I can when I'm out of town. But yes, as of the last time I checked, every other Saturday, we take kids up flying for free. And we either Cessna 172 or Cherokee 140. We're actually getting some new aircraft coming in right now, too. So we take the kids up flying for free around the traffic pattern. Sometimes we go out to the water and then we come back. You know, we let the kids take control with actual flight instructors. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, we have a ground school where the instructor will teach different segments of classes. So we have the youth and the really young kids, and then we got the teenagers, young adults, and we separate the two. We have a ground school for them, then we take them up flying. Then we have a ground school for the older kids. We take them up flying. In between, we get food and everything like that for them.
Yeah.
The parents are loving it because they see their kids are fascinating in something besides being out in the streets and getting into trouble. So it's a great after-school kind of program, you know, just similar to what I got involved with when I got involved with Robin Pecray's program. I used to come there after school all the time and spend weekends there. So I'm kind of seeing the same thing with these kids.
Yeah.
And they're getting their fascination in it, you know. And I see bright kids in these classes, too. You got some that aren't interested. You got some that are really intrigued.
Yeah.
And we got a few that actually became pilots.
Yep.
That are going through the woodworks right now.
Yeah, the kids that, you know, you've been running this now for a few years. Are these kids, you think they're gonna make it run of being pro pilots?
There's quite a few, yes. I definitely see potential. There's two in particular, Donovan and Maceo. Shout out to you guys.
Nice.
They got their private pilot certificates. They got instrument ratings. Oh. You know, working on commercial right now. They are really pushing hard getting through this. And there's some other kids that are coming up too.
All right.
You know, doing the same thing. So yeah, we got some solid results.
And then does the program, so if the kids go through the program, they get their private and they go through and get their instrument, can they go back and instruct at Flight Compton?
They can, yes.
Yeah.
And that's the plan. We don't have anybody that's commercial level yet, but we're working on that. But we also, you know, we're gonna have flight instructor roles, we're gonna have sightseeing tour pilot roles.
Yep.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Once you get to that point, then you've got this self-sustaining ecosystem of, you know, these kids. They come up, become a flight instructor, instruct for a few years, and then they're off to the airlines or cargo or corporate or whatever they're going to do.
Yeah. We're going to have this thing on full autopilot pretty soon.
Yeah.
Ding.
That's another cool one. I mean, you guys have put the effort in, and you got a great group of people that care, and you know, you guys are all from, you know, similar area, and you're giving back to
and that's the why community. We care, because we've been through it. We know what these kids are dealing with. We know what they want to do. We know how they can get there.
It's awesome. And you guys are just, I mean, what a great mentor, you know, and to have you guys. And I'm really proud of what you're doing over there. And you know, we want to, I want to be involved. I love being involved. I'm just a huge fan of you guys and what you're doing. But we'll have, you can access, we'll have show notes so people can access Flight Compton and,
yeah, you guys
and they're looking, these guys are looking for financial support. So it's a really good organization. They have, you know, they have tons of opportunity to be involved too. So we're going to, you know, I'd like to be involved for a long time. Are you guys doing anything else like AMP programs? You plan on adding any other
things into the program? We're currently rolling out a drone program right now. So if anyone wants to become a drone pilot.
Dude.
Yeah.
Sweet.
My boy, Chris Molina. Yeah. I met him on YouTube. He's actually a YouTube drone pilot kind of guy.
Yeah.
He wants to be one of our, he wants to be our first instructor. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, I got this solid dude. Like, just let's bring him in. So we're kind of working through it right now, but he's going to be our, I believe he's going to be our first instructor for our drone program.
Yeah.
So we're going to be teaching kids how to fly drones, do like, you know, management stuff, you know, flying drones around here and like for building development or whatever.
Because the commercial drone thing, I mean, the FAA is now heavily involved.
Yeah.
With drone and the licensing of the commercial operations, you have to have
Part 107 certificate. Yeah. We're going to help them get through all of that stuff.
Yeah. You have to have all of the certification training. Instructing the drones have to be registered. Do they have to have transponders on them now? Like, are they?
I don't know about transponders, but if they're over a certain weight, grams wise, you do have to have certification and registration for it. Yes.
Yeah. So it's.
Just don't get caught up in any shit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a future and it's going to be a big thing. And there's, you know, not to get totally off topic, but there's like massive security concerns about drones too, you know, and
privacy issues.
Privacy like that. And flying.
You got a lot of fools out there playing around with these toys and that should be played around with. You got people flying drones in front of aircraft with people in them.
Yeah.
So it's a huge problem. That's why the FAA had to step in and like, hey, we got to regulate this shit. You know, we got to get actual certificates for these people. And if people don't have it, they can wind up in a lot of trouble. I'm talking about like heavy fines, possible jail time. So it's getting very serious and for good reason because, you know, we can't have drones flying around when we're flying these big planes with people on them.
So having programs like commercial drone instructing at Flight Compton is I mean, that's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, too.
Absolutely.
The more regulation you have on anything, the more instruction, training, all that stuff, intervention that has to happen. So
absolutely. I'm a drone pilot myself, by the way, commercial certified and all that stuff. So I got my Part 107, 107 certificate.
Yep.
I got it a lot easier than most people would because I'm already a current pilot. So it's kind of the same stuff that we have to learn. The written test that you got to take has a lot of the similar questions.
Really?
Yeah. So
do you get like a pilot certificate? Does it look like
your FAA? I got it right here. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'll show it to you.
I want to see it.
It looks kind of similar. It looks like a knockoff version of our pilot certificates.
Really?
There you go.
Oh, it is a little knockoff. It does say Federal Aviation. You know, if the camera.
Yeah, and I put the real one side to side.
See that?
I'm sure we're gonna blur out the addresses and stuff, right? Yeah. See, this is a little knockoff-ish. You don't have the airplane in the background.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Kind of, yeah.
Awesome, dude.
That's it, man. Okay. Yeah, it's just the real deal. So if anybody wants to think I'm trying to spy on neighbors and stuff like that, I'm like, no, that's not what I'm trying to do. I got my certificate right here. You know, boom.
Before we talk about flying, because this is a flying podcast.
We didn't talk about flying yet.
We haven't talked about flying. God. How can people get involved in Flight Compton? Like, what do you need? What do you guys need?
All right, depends on what you want to get out of it. If you want to help out these kids, you want to help them fund their flight training, flycomptonfoundation.org. That's where you want to go if you want to help donate. Okay. If you want to become a pilot yourself, visit flycompton.com. And if you're a social media junkie like myself, visit us on Instagram, flycompton.
Nice.
Yeah,
and you guys are also, just to note, it is a regular flight school too. So if you're interested in becoming a pilot,
an actual certified pilot, just flying real planes.
You're just a normal person off the street and you want to go get your private.
That's right.
You guys can do flight training there. And you actually, that helps fund part of Flight Compton as well. Yeah.
Yes.
The flight school.
Yes. Yeah, we definitely take some of the profits from the profit side and bring it to the nonprofit side. The Fly Compton Foundation we have our own 501c3, thanks to Demetrius, our president.
Yeah.
And we got that full thing going right now. So yeah, if you guys want to donate, we could do that. Awesome. If you want to become an actual pilot yourself.
All right, so I have a serious question. This is about being a corporate pilot. And I've done the job, so you and I are both Gulfstream G550 pilots.
Yes.
So I get it. I know what you go through.
Badass
I've done the
plane.
Job. It's a great airplane. It's one of my favorite airplanes in the world.
Yeah.
But my question is, being a corporate pilot, do you hate your own bed?
um, Honestly, no. I enjoy sleeping in my own bed. I have a pretty awesome bed. I understand what you mean.
Better because you don't see it very often.
Yeah, exactly. I understand what you mean by the question. When I see that bed, I'm just like, oh, baby, I'm back home. Let's do this. And I hop on and we're...
I'm going to get my sleep on right now.
I do. Like I said earlier, like when I wake up, I usually don't know what city I'm in. I woke up this morning, you know, I only had like 2.5 hours of sleep, dude. Well, I literally commuted in.
Just to be honest, you spent your last night on an airplane, on a commercial airline.
Commercial that's airline coming from Miami.
That's you slept last night.
Landed in LAX, and it was delayed, by the way. At first, it was supposed to take off like 7:30 Eastern time, but we wound up taking like 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
It was freaking crazy, man. Luckily, I had a hotel, and I was able to sleep out there. But yeah, I got on the plane, man. It was... by the time I got here, it was like 2:30 in the morning. By the time I got home, it was about 3:30. Yeah. By the time I got to bed, it was probably like 4 or 4:30 because I had to get things together because I've been away for a while.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't understand this about corporate aviation. These airplanes move all over the world all the time. They're constantly going, flying different people. And, you know, sometimes it's an owner flight. Sometimes it's a charter flight. Sometimes it's a position flight. And the crews end up scattered all over the planet. And after you do these long series of flights, you got to... Gotta decompress, man.
So when I see that bed, I'm like, I love my bed. So to answer your question, yes, I love my bed.
Yeah. I mean, you came up, so I've watched your career from the early days, and you've kind of, like, I've been really impressed with how you've navigated your career so far.
Yeah.
And you started out as a safety pilot on a tiny little jet, a CJ, right?
A Phenom 100.
The Phenom 100.
Even tinier.
Even smaller. The Phenom 100 safety pilot, which is basically like, you know, you're just there to fill a seat and you're like wide-eyed learning all this stuff.
Pretty much. Switch, they call us.
Put the gear up. To going to being a captain on a Gulfstream 550 that operates all over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, and you've done that in a pretty short period of time.
I would say so, yeah.
And I've watched you just march from one airplane, you know, safety pilot to co-pilot to captain, back to co-pilot on a bigger airplane to captain, back to co-pilot on a bigger airplane to captain. You've just done this, like, it's almost been a perfect career. And did you like plan that? Or is it just kind of, did you get lucky? Tell me about...
I didn't plan it at all. I wouldn't even say I got lucky either. I did a lot of networking back like around 2009, 2010, even prior to that, because I had my commercial pilot license. I was flying sightseeing tours at the Compton Airport for Robin's program.
Yeah.
And I was just like struggling to get hours here and there, like, because it wasn't, you know, there's not a whole lot of tours going on. So I got to find a way to get some hours. I got my multi-engine rating in 2011. And I'm sitting here with all these certificates and I'm like, I can't do anything with them right now because I don't have enough flight experience. So I'm networking. I'm talking to different people. Hey, you own this plane. Can I give you some gas to fly around? And, you know, I'll take you flying and everything like that. And earn some hours that way. And I kept in touch with some old instructors over the years. And this is how I got my job flying corporate right now. One of my flight instructors from back in 2004 when I was getting my private pilot certificate, he got the job flying as a captain on that Phenom 100.
Oh,
and the company he was working for said, hey, we need safety pilot. And so we were just shooting the shit one day, just talking. He said, hey, so what's going on with your flying career right now? I'm like, dude, I'm not doing anything. I'm literally pushing wheelchairs in LAX right now.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, I was working at LAX.
What is that job? What do they call that? The guys that push the wheelchairs around. Is it like a name? I can't even remember.
Like,
I think in a hostel they call it an orderly. Did they call that?
It was nothing like that. It's just like basically customer service representative, kind of something like that. It was nothing too fancy. But we were basically just pushing wheelchairs for the disabled, the elderly, things like that. You know, take them to their gates. I'll get tips from time to time, just like building money left and right, doing that. Spend money on flight training and stuff. So honestly, I was miserable. But I was working at the airport. I got to talk to pilots and everything like that. Yeah. So that was kind of cool. But anyway, going back to my flight instructor friend, he offered me, well, he didn't offer me, but he told me about this available position as a safety pilot on the Phenom 100. Like he said, hey, what's going on with your flying career? I got this possible opportunity. You want to fly right seat on a jet? I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, I got an email for you. Send your resume to this email. It was to the chief pilot at the time for the company I work at now.
Nice.
And I got a call the next day. And I had an interview the next day.
Cool.
All within the same phone call. I was actually pushing wheelchairs and I was like, oh, wait, I don't recognize this number. Hey, who's this? This is Chief Pilot with such and such company. So we got this this person who recommended you.
Yeah.
Are you interested in this position? I'm like, can we talk right now? He's like, yeah. No, he was asking me, can we talk right now? I'm like, yeah. Went to the, I was like, bye, lady.
You just parked the old lady up there. Yeah. Parked the old lady on the side of the
terminal. No, I'm just kidding. I called them back when I was done. Sorry, granny. Like, anyway, but... So I went to the, I didn't even go to the break room. I didn't want to be nearby anybody. I went in the hallway and I had the conversation. I was sitting there for like half an hour talking to the chief pilot, telling him about my aviation background, kind of similar to what I'm doing right here on this podcast.
Yeah.
Without as many jokes. And then he was like, well, here's what we can offer you, Brian. You'll fly with your flight instructor friend.
Yeah.
And we do like a demo flight kind of thing. We got a trip that's coming up next week. Can you get these days off? And I'm like, let me see what I can do. And sure enough, I got those days off. I was able to do the flight. They liked my performance. And not too long after that, we flew to, I forgot where it was. It was in Northern California. We flew to this airport and the chief pilot was there.
Oh.
Unbeknownst to me. I didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
And he had the application sitting right there. Ink pen and everything. He's like, really? You ready to start? I'm like, hell yeah. So I called the last company and said, adios.
Yeah.
And
good for you.
Next thing you know, I was sitting in the right seat of a Phenom 100 and getting paid to do it.
That's awesome.
Dude. It was incredible.
And then, you went through. Like, what was it playing out? What did you fly after that? What was it?
The CJ-2. I flew the CJ-2. Yeah.
Yep. And then you got a type rating in that.
Yes. SIC type rating.
SIC type.
Yeah. So it was my first official type rating. I didn't go to school for it. It was just an instructor sign off.
Yeah.
Another CFI who signed me off on that.
And you flew the Lear 60.
I did fly the Lear 60. And that was my first official type rating.
Yep.
So I got the Lear 60 type back in 2017, I believe it was, PIC.
Yep.
So full on captain type rating. Yep. I didn't play a captain role. I was hired on as a SIC, but I had the type rating for a captain.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I sat right seat all the time. I never sat in the left seat on that plane, but I built up a lot of good
hours.
That
plane's kind of a handful.
It is a handful. It's a beast. That thing takes off like a bat out of hell. Like you'll get from sea level to 41,000 feet in 13 minutes, sometimes less.
It's got a short wing, super unstable. Like it's a
tiny wheels. Like my captain at the time called them Fisher Price wheels.
Yeah.
I definitely believe.
I mean, that's a good.
Brakes were
when
terrible.
When you're really developing your jet skills, that's a.
Why not do it in an old fashioned steam gauge kind of plane?
That's
I think it was a good experience. And that goes back to my initial flight training. I didn't have many opportunities to fly a glass cockpit, a G1000 or Avadyne or all this fancy stuff that we all have right now. I started on straight steam gauges, just like the old folks back in the day. You know, I respect those guys to this day because that's not the easiest flying.
Like I was talking to one of our pilot buddy of mine. My first type rating was in a Hawker, the Hawker.
Yeah.
And this is back, 20 years ago. And I had to fly an ADI approach on the approach. Like,
really?
I mean, it was back. Like, we had to do that back.
ADF approach?
ADF approach,
Man.
Using ADI,
I did training doing ADF approaches in a 172 steam gauge, and it was it's challenging, man.
But it makes you
I was homing all the time when I was in my training, and I had to learn how to, do the interception angles and wind corrections,
all that stuff. Man. All the new tech
It does.
You know,
I'm kind of in that middle range where I learned a lot of the old stuff, and I'm embracing the new stuff as well. Yeah. So I'm literally like right in that middle gap between generations of...
And then, training. So after the Lear, you're flying some good equipment now. So you flew the Challenger 300.
Yes. That is a sweet airplane. We did a lot of Pacific crossings in that one.
Yeah. You guys are going to Hawaii a bunch. That's like a new modern, like going from all the equipment you flew before that and then into that was a massive leap, must have been.
It was a massive leap, but in a good way, I would say, because you're flying a Lear 60. The training that I went through to get that type rating, everybody was telling me it was going to be extremely difficult, but it wasn't that bad. But the Challenger 300 training was like super easy because all the advanced stuff, all the options that we got, you got us automation assist and everything like that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say that when we're flying planes, we're kind of like, we're like monitors and everything like that. You know, it's somewhat true. Yes. But the airplane does practically fly itself. We take off and land, we monitor, we make changes and everything, but a lot of these planes do a lot of the work for us, which makes the job a whole lot easier.
The flying's the easy part. I always say it, nowadays, like our airplanes are so we're in the 550 now, the G550, and such an easy bird to fly. And they're just, so it just does everything for you. And
The fun starts when the engines start. Right. Everything prior to and afterwards after we shut down, it's like, oh.
Yeah. So like being a corporate pilot, like you chose a career at this point in the corporate aviation world and not commercial. So, you know, why did you choose corporate versus airlines?
Just because of the career I stumbled into, the opportunity that I was given, and just decided to stick with it. Now, when I was growing up as a kid, I was full on want to be a Delta airline captain.
Oh.
And I have the opportunity to do it if I want to right now with the experience that I have. But honestly, I'm enjoying the corporate world. I enjoy the places that we get to go. There's a lot of spontaneity in the places that we go. You know, today I'm in Los Angeles. Yesterday I was in Miami. Prior to that, I was in Antigua.
Yep.
Not too long ago, I was in the Bahamas. Yep. You know, we do a lot of Caribbean flying on the account that I'm on right now.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're in Hawaii. You know, the person I fly for likes tropical places. So it's been really awesome. So I'm sitting here on the beach having a martini. You know, it's incredible. And I understand airline pilots get to do that too.
Yeah.
However, it's more of a, I consider airline flying like a bus route.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Lyft driver.
Right.
You know, you just don't know where you're going to be. You get to be personal with the people that you're flying.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's tips. That's kind of cool. That's great conversations with people.
When I first found out about corporate aviation, when I became a pilot, I didn't know anything about it. And I learned through, you know, the company I was flying for, they had King Airs and they weren't going anywhere exotic like the Caribbean or South Pacific or anything, but they were flying different places every day. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. And it really fit my personality. And I think it takes a certain personality type to really thrive in the corporate environment, right?
Because
you got to be flexible. You have to want to be adventurous. It's kind of an adventurous job. It definitely has its downside, you know. So you ended up here. Like, what are some of the things that you really like about what we do?
My suitcase can sometimes have a winter coat and swimming shorts at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where we're going to go.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. I enjoy not knowing where we're going to go sometimes. Because like we could have a trip to a particular place, but the next day we could be called somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it could be more awesome than the place that we're at.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind
of
cool.
I think it's funny when, you know, I talk to a lot of my friends and they know the industry I'm in and they're like, oh, that's so cool. It's so romantic. And you're flying all these celebrities and people. But it's not all fun. It's not all, you know.
Of course.
What's the downside of being a corporate pilot?
I'm sure a lot of pilots heard the term hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
You know, we can sit in planes for hours just waiting for passengers to show up.
Yeah.
There's places that we go to that aren't necessarily fun. We could be like right in the middle of nowhere, you know, just wondering like, where's the hotels at?
Yeah.
So there's situations like that. That would probably say that's like the downside of it. Yeah. I can't say that I've been flying into any dangerous places or anything like that. So I can't really speak on that. But I heard some stories from other people saying they've flown some dangerous places. So that happens sometimes too. But I think the position I have right now is a pretty good one. Now, in corporate world, I think it's kind of like not necessarily a gamble, but it can go left or right. You can wind up at a shitty job or you can wind up at a really incredible one flying for a famous billionaire or something like that. And you could be living a life. Or you could be working somewhere that you don't like and you're just building up your hours. Anything in between.
Yeah.
Airlines are kind of like straightforward. You start here, you work your way up. But one thing I don't like about the airlines is you're not a person, you're a number.
Yeah.
You know, the company I work at right now, everybody knows me. People love my YouTube videos.
Yeah.
I'm on this podcast today. You know, so there's different opportunities that come up in a position like this.
I believe you're the number one senior pilot at the company you're with. Right?
Currently, at the time, yes. Yeah. I've been there since December 5th, 2014.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so
that's pretty cool.
Almost 10 years now.
What's the secret life of a private jet pilot? I mean, you're flying people and celebrities, very public figures.
The list goes on and on. I keep a list of all the celebrities I fly on my phone. Obviously, I'm not going to talk about them today.
Yeah,
but
I mean, you've like...
Long list.
Yeah.
Well over 70 people.
Like all of them.
Yeah.
Like everyone.
Yeah, just about...
Like, how is that?
And a lot of them are like really, really cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they say don't meet your idols, right? I met some of my idols. You know.
And
I'm just like, wow, you're the exact person I thought you were when I saw your movies.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And some are even better. Yeah. Some are just like, I'm just keeping to myself, not talking to anybody. Don't look at me. So that's fine too. I respect it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's, and like, it's such a weird profession. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that people don't have, when you think about fans, right? Mm-hmm. And if they see a celebrity walking down the street in LA, we're in LA right now, you can probably walk around over there and see somebody, but it's a thing. Sure. People like, oh my God, they get, like, I saw, you know, Jennifer Aniston. If my wife saw Jennifer yeah. Aniston, she'd freak out. But, you know, we fly these people, you know, you fly these people all the time, and it's kind of a weird thing
that we
do. We're, you know, we're involved in this kind of, I always call it the secret life of the corporate pilot.
Yeah, somewhat secret.
You know, yeah.
A lot of you ask me questions.
Well, dude, this has kind of been fun.
It's been very fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed.
Yeah. I'm running on 2 hours of sleep right now, but I feel wide awake now.
Dude, you're a corporate pilot, man. That's what you do.
Right.
Get after it. Dude, Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show. So tell our audience where we can find. Let's hear about all your channels. I want to know where they can find anything you want us to know about you. We'll make sure it ends up in the show notes, and they can go click and follow you. And
fantastic. Yeah, let's start with the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Brian Monette. That's my first and last name, B-R-I-A-N, not with a Y, M-O-N-E-T-T-E. And you can find me on there. You can also find me at Mayhem Park on Instagram.
What else do we need to know about what you guys are doing, and where can we find it?
Yeah, so you can start by checking us out at flycompton.com. Also flycomptonfoundation.org. And we're also rolling out, I forgot to mention this earlier, we're rolling out sightseeing tours. So if you live in the Los Angeles area or maybe visiting, come check us out at flycompton.com. Go to Book a Flight and check out our sightseeing tours. We got really reasonable rates and we got top quality service. And if you want to fly around, check out places like downtown LA, Hollywood Sign, LAX, Palos Verdes, Long Beach, some cool places. Bring your camera and come check us out. Also, if you want to donate to flycomptonfoundation.org, help these kids out, you can do that as well.
Well, awesome, dude. Thanks again for being on here. I want to thank all of our aviators out there for joining us for the Flight Club podcast. You can follow us at flightclubpodcast.com. Please go on and like and follow us. This is really fun as our first show. And Brian, dude, thank you so much, man. It was a lot
of
fun.
Shout out to you, man, for putting this together.
All right.
This is amazing. I love this view, man.
This is a Kilo Bravo Media production, brought to you by Rainbow Creative.